tried to wrap my head around this unexpected turn of events. I had a cousin who neurotically made playlists for every waking moment of her life, and that slightly obsessive habit had rubbed off on me to the point that I couldn't deal with the harshness of reality anymore unless I rolled it around in music first. So I got in Burrito, my piece of shit 03 old Zolero, and just drove. Cranking Escorpion, a Brazilian song that I didn't understand but fucking loved. I knew the translation was something along the lines of, "I love you is bullshit." So that seemed good enough for me. But almost as if Burrito had a mind of his own, I found myself turning down the barely there dirt road that wound through the woods next to the pond. I drove over the snow-packed path until I saw the old abandoned shed that had once been our spot. What the fuck am I doing? The night was quiet, the deep snow insulating the world, so all I could hear was the crunch of snow under my shoes as I got out of the car and walked toward the structure. It had always looked like it was 5 minutes from collapsing, and that hadn't changed since the last time I'd been there, the summer after seventh grade. I pushed in the door of the abandoned shed and stepped inside, half expecting a pack of raccoons to fly at my face. It was darker than dark, but when I turned on my phone's flashlight, it felt like I'd taken a puck to the chest because how could it still look the same? The actual chairs we'd stolen from my dad's shop to furnish our ridiculous little shed were still there, and so was the massive hole in the roof that we called our skylight. Holy shit. I swallowed and looked up at the moon. Everything about our spot remained the same. And who was I kidding? So was the memory of her, of Danny, and the last time I saw her. 5-ish years ago. I don't want to go home. I looked at Danny's profile as she stared up at the moon and couldn't believe she was already leaving. We were sitting side by side on a blanket in the pond shed, and I uttered the understatement of the century when I said, "This sucks." Danny and her mom came for 1 month every summer. 1 month where our mothers, best friends, hung out 24/7, and we got to do whatever we wanted every single day. We rode bikes, went fishing, walked endless miles while debating everything, hung out at the pool. It was summer perfection. It had been an annual event for longer than I could remember, literally. The reason for their annual visit was to see Danny's grandparents, but since she spent most of her time with me at our house, or in our shed hangout, it always felt like our vacation. And it was hands down the best part of summer break, because for 1 month of the year, she was my best friend. We screwed around and laughed our asses off for 30 days. And then she went back to whatever Air Force base her dad was stationed at until the next season of the Fireflies. But now they were leaving after only 2 days. This time, their visit had been for her grandma's funeral. And this time, her prickish dad, the Colonel, had come with them. Which was a big mistake because his presence made everything blow way the hell up. It was epic in the worst way. Mick, Danny's grandpa, lost his shit on her dad after the funeral, saying it was Mr. Collins' fault that her grandma died of a broken heart because he took Danny's mom away and moved her all over the country. Then Mick told them, in front of everyone, to go back to wherever the hell you're stationed now and get out of his sight. Yep, nightmare. And now they were leaving in the morning, which meant we wouldn't be walking to Chris's bakery, where we were supposed to sit at a sticky table outside and try to guess which donuts the customers were going to order by what they were wearing. One of our many annual traditions. "I know it makes me a garbage person," she said, looking at me with brown eyes that were too sad. "But I think I'm more bummed about not getting my month here than I am about the whole family fight thing." And then I saw it. She had tears in her eyes. Seeing anyone with tears in their eyes made me uncomfortable. I wasn't good with serious, but seeing the most sarcastic person I'd ever met looking sad, it was a little gutting, to be honest. "Collins," I said, bumping her shoulder with mine, needing to nudge her back to a comfortable spot. "If you cry, I swear to God, I'll toss you out of this shed and into the pond." She coughed out a laugh, and her voice was thick when she said, "Such a little badass, threatening me when we both know you couldn't. Come on." "You're so mean," I teased. "And you're so short," she teased back. A painless joke because I wasn't short. She was just taller than everyone else. "You're not a garbage person, by the way," I said, noticing that her eyes still had that emotional shimmer that made me want to kick her grandpa's ass for being a dick. "You're allowed to be sad that you don't get to stay." She swallowed and bit down on her lower lip, like she was trying to hold it together. "I mean, I'm sad," I admitted,